Next, we're going to have our speakers. And for some, you know, our speakers, when we did our, we were talking about how we're going to do this night. And the speakers, a couple of them are new, and so, well, what do we talk about? And we just said, you know, the angels will help you. Just ask for help and talk about class if that's what you feel like. So I don't know what they're going to speak about, but we're going to have three speakers, the first of which is Dr. Kevin.
My name's Kevin, and this is my first year doing this class. And I've been coming to this church for years, 5, 6, 7 years now. Yolanda used to work with me in my center, and she's been encouraging me for years to come to the service, and I finally did. And I love it. And I always was too busy to come to the classes. And I always thought, well, you're not pretty spiritually involved. I don't need these classes. And then a funny thing happened on the way to the forum. I started coming Wednesday nights, and I started hearing messages from people that normally don't give messages on Sundays. And I thought, wow, this is really cool. People are learning how to give messages that aren't part of their pulpit, so to speak, on Sundays. And Yolanda told me, well, these are people that are in classes. And I said, really, you learn how to give messages in class. I thought that was fascinating to me. And after I thought, well, it might be for next year. And next year. And next year, you know how it goes. And then 2006. How many people were really glad when December 31st at midnight hit to see 2006 get pushed aside for the following year to start? How many were really happy to see him? I was. 2006 was a total, I see a few hands going. 2006 was a disaster. Everything that could imaginable happened. I had to have surgery at the beginning of the year for torn abdominal, you know, muscles and everything else. It took me a while to recover from that, and just everything happened. And I really got depressed. And I started thinking that, you know, we kind of go through life sometimes all alone, don't we? You ever feel like that? You ever feel like, wow, I'm all alone in this. No one else is having a bad year. No one else is having a bad month or a bad day. It's just me, right? I know, I'm the only one. Exactly. I know everybody has their bad moments. But a bad year just stinks. And so I just said, you know what? You know, this is an experience I've got to get through. But I really felt alone. I didn't feel like my angels were with me anymore. I felt like, how much more can I endure? And then I was in the process of leaving the country for a while. But it never happened. And something kept me here. Something kept me going. And classes started in October. And I thought, you know what? I've never done a class. This is the time to do it. I need some help. Lord, show me something here. First night, some family members kind of let me know that I wasn't alone. Then a few more times, different people came that I long since forgot. Gave me good messages. Said, Kevin, you're going through what you got to go through to reach the next stage of your evolving. And I started realizing, I ain't alone. I'm not alone out there. And none of you are. And that's what the class is all about. There's a lot of love on the other side. Huge amount of love. They love you. They want to be with you. They want to show you that it's only for the moment. This too shall pass. I started crying, knowing that, man, this is all just part of the path. We're all on, isn't it? And 2007 came, and I still wasn't leaving yet. And I thought, well, I'll just continue the class until I leave. Then February came, and March came, and I'm still here. I'm still here, and I decided, you know what? There's no way I'm ever leaving this class until it's over at this point. And I'm still here in June, because I want to be. Not because I have to be, because I want to be. Because these are my family now. We all need family. Because our Brazilian friends, you're far away from home. Well, we've got family. Don't you feel that way, Eduardo? Yeah. And Scott, you're American. What are we talking about? sure you all feel when you come here on Wednesday nights and you go to church on Sundays, but in class and really begin to become part of the family. You grow close to these folks, like what we have here. These are my buddies. These are the ones that are there to be non-judgmental when they hear my shit come up. Okay, excuse me. But it does come up sometimes. They're non-judgmental because they all have their stuff to deal with too. And we love each other greatly. And I thank them for supporting me and being a part of my life throughout this. And I'm thankful that they allow me to come up and say a few words to you tonight. And if you have any inclination, there's several classes a week to join. It won't be until October again. But don't wait like me, you know, like I did maybe 5 or 6 years ago. Start going. You'll love it. It'll be the best experience you can imagine. So, and you get to spend time with Reverend Miller. It was just a joy to do this. So, anyway, thank you for this moment.
Thank you, Kevin. I think Kevin's talking a lot about, we talk in class about knowing that you know, and what really helps you know that you know that you know. And it happens in class every week. And it's wonderful to be part of that. I just don't know. I asked Deborah one night, I've been saying this for weeks, I'd say, you know, where else do you go to this, get this kind of education? And people just kind of smile and nod. And I said it to Deborah one night, and I said, where would you go to get this kind of education? She looked at me, she goes, Kevin. And I thought, well, okay, that's pretty good. And what's wonderful is that we do help each other. I have my favorite story about the guy that passed, and he went up to the pearly gates, and he was going to go inside, and God looked at him and said, my son, he says, do you feel complete? Is there anything else that you need to do before you step inside? And the man looked, and he said, you know, he said, I'd like to see hell. I just want to know what it's like, because I'm not going to be there. I just want to know what it's like. And God smiled, and the next second they were in hell. And hell consisted of a big banquet table, probably as wide as these pews, that stretched off into infinity. And it was piled high with every meat and pasta and dessert and everything you could think of. But the people down there were just skin and bones because they were trying to eat with chopsticks that were 11 feet long. The guy looks, and he goes, God looks at him and says, you got enough? And he goes, yes, Lord, I have. So God smiled. Next thing you know, they walk into the pearly gates, and they walk inside. And heaven consisted of a long banquet table about as wide as these pews, stretched off into infinity, piled high with every kind of dessert and meat and drink and everything else that you can think of. And the guy looked, and he goes, different utensils. God looked at him, and he goes, no. He had the same 11-foot chopsticks. He said, but in heaven, we feed each other. And that's what happens with us. We really feed each other. And these classes are so wonderful because we get to work together. We get to share our wonderful things that happen in class. And so I think the biggest testament to Millie's classes are that there are people that have been in these classes for over 20 years. At first I just thought they were slow learners. They couldn't figure it out. 20 years. Oh my gosh. But tonight is kind of a semi-sweet night for most of us who've been in classes because this is the end of our class year. So now we have to wait until October and we have to go through withdrawals because we don't have class night coming up. So there's something magical and very special that happens on class night.
I like that word, withdrawals.
Yes. So it's kind of fun for us to be up here, and we're going to drag it out as long as we can so we keep Millie around. So the next to speak to us is Janet Lockman.
Like Kevin, 2006 was a difficult year for me, and I went through a lot of soul searching. And one of the things that happened in 2006 was I had a friend. I didn't have a place to live at one point, and I had a friend. And she actually was a client, and I asked her, she offered to me to stay in her home, and as long as I wanted. And I was floored because I thought, why would you do that for me? And she said, she didn't want money, she didn't want anything. And she said, because one day I want you to be able to give that to somebody else. And I thought about that a lot, and I thought about that whole thing of unconditional love. And when I was thinking about what I was going to talk about today, I realized that the biggest gift that I've gotten from this class is what it feels like to give to other people unconditionally and without any thought of what I'm going to get in return. And what happened for me as a result of that experience is that I feel fuller in my gifts of return than I ever have in my life. And it was such a gift. It's so different from ever a monetary gift or anything else. It's that I actually can give in that way so lovingly, and that's a gift that I learned from this class and Millie, because she talks about that all the time, but I finally realized how much you get back by just giving unconditionally. And that's all I have to say.
Thank you, Janet. When people are coming from the heart, it really just touches and moves us, doesn't it? It's wonderful to hear somebody who's just speaking from her heart. And that's the kind of bonds and the things that grow in the classes, and it's so wonderful. Our next speaker is George Thorne. George joined our class a little later this year than normal. And George is a friend of mine. We do some work together. And I just felt like he needed to hear about class one day. He was walking by my office, and he stopped, and I told him about this class, and he didn't really know what it was about, but his response was like, well, yeah, when is it? And I was kind of surprised. I said, well, it's Tuesday night. And so George showed up, and he's taking this like a duck to water. He's threatening to camp out on the stoop outside the church until October because he doesn't want to leave. So I'd like to introduce my friend George Thorne.
I have to say, when you're a newbie, Dave kind of says, George, you will be a speaker. Not having a clue, I figured, what the heck, so. And forgive me, I had to write out my thoughts a little bit or I could never get them all straight. I call my little talk, My God Story is My Spiritual Journey. Our Tuesday nights, when the lights go out, the light goes on. For the past 6 months or so, I've had the strangest feeling, like God has been right at my shoulder, closer than ever, pushing, nudging me like never before. It's as if God has been saying, all right, get with it, enough already. You've been on your old journey a little too long. You've been wandering around the universe trying to find yourself in me. Meanwhile, your life's work is waiting, and you haven't been able to get on with it, so I'm going to take over. You obviously don't take subtle hints too well, so I'm going to pick you up by the scruff of your neck like a dog, point you in the right direction, and open your eyes wide. You're going to get what you need now. So she sent me to Fraternal Spiritualist Church. Millie's Church, I like to think of it. Through my good friend Dave, but first what got me here. We're all on a spiritual journey, whether we know it or not. Mine, now that I can actually see it, consciously began 20 years ago, not long after having put away my other spirits for good, the alcoholic kind, that is. All of a sudden, one night, I realized that I had gone through some pretty horrible stuff as a child and had been so traumatized by it that I had buried it deep inside my entire life. At the time, it hurt more than anything that I could ever imagine. The pain was unbearable. I didn't know what to do, but I knew I couldn't drink or smoke my two packs of cigarettes a day anymore to hide it. Heathen that I was, I hadn't believed in God since the Presbyterian Church squeezed it out of me through sheer boredom as a kid. The Presbyterian Church and college philosophy classes, where it was proven to me beyond a shadow of a doubt that if because I couldn't logically explain or see him, God did not exist. Miracles only happened, our professor said, among people who are ignorant, illiterate, or poor. These people just didn't know any better. And to think I believed him. Life is just some big existential bang. Is that all there is, my friends? Then let's keep dancing. For too long, I had confused God with religion, thought one was the other. I now know that the two aren't often enough related, not by a long shot. Man, the money changers, the televangelists, the keepers of the moral majority, keep asking if they are God and speaking for him with their hands continually outstretched for money. It's God, Inc. Personally, I don't think so. At any rate, for the first time in my life, I was experiencing constant, unrelenting psychic and emotional pain that I had bottled up inside for a lifetime. I somehow knew that I had to go through this head on. It was the only way to heal my wounds, a very real hole in my soul. For reasons I did not understand at the time, I began to pray. It was the only outlet that I had. I didn't know where it was coming from. It was like some primal instinct from deep inside. Before long, Jesus appeared in my mind. A figment of my imagination, I thought. If I have nothing else, I have a very vivid imagination. At that point, I gladly took whatever help that was offered. For whatever reason, Jesus and I were spending a lot of time together. He would let me rest my head on his shoulder as if I were a child, his child. Thy rod and thy staff and his shoulder would comfort me. I have recently come to believe that the presence of Jesus was a great deal more than my imagination. It also helped to ease my pain by going to the ocean. I would grab my head in my hands, sitting on the sand, and try to make the hurt go away. After many visits, I began to notice flocks of birds flying overhead. For the first time, I saw that they always flew in formation after the tides came in like clockwork. Then one day, I saw a school of porpoise not far from shore. One by one, they swam by in front of me, in unison, slowly lifting their beautiful bodies out of the water, then silently submerging, slipping out of sight. It was one of the most beautiful sights I had ever seen, especially when you're from Arizona. I was witnessing a greater order to things than anything I'd ever